Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, just starting out on a Thursday. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. My wife left for a month this morning, and she took the dogs. So she goes, she's going somewhere in the fall, not far from here. So I have no dogs in the house for a month.
Did you guys ever get another cat?
We have a cat, small cat, cute cat, but that doesn't satiate my need for my dogs. So I'm not going to have my dogs for a month.
Cats are not the affectionate type.
They're not. They're very aloof and skittish and crazy.
That's
and
why I like cats.
They're hiding all the time. Mm-hmm. My dogs never hide. They sit in full view on the couch and let it be known they're hungry constantly. And so I don't have, not that I won't miss my wife. I'll, you know, go see her too. But that my dogs, for a month.
Maybe you could offer to walk your neighbor's dog or something.
It's like you. It's like caring about the neighbor's kids. I mean, you pretend to, but you don't really.
Yeah.
Oh, you're nice kids. Whatever. You know.
Is that how it is with dog owners?
It's tough. So, you know, football, you can grow into greatness. It doesn't happen a lot in basketball and, say, soccer. In basketball, you could be in a gym with a ball shooting by yourself. Ball skills, vertical, athleticism, and I could look and determine you're really, really an elite basketball prospect, right? In football, Tom Brady's not thrown to himself in the yard. Left tackles are not blocking air and impressing you. Is that there's a certain physicality with football that you have to see guys hit guys and how they can handle it. Yeah, same in UFC, same in boxing. Everybody can look good in the gym. Let me see you against another dude. And basketball and soccer are different. You can identify basketball greatness and soccer greatness very, very quickly. Most of your stars, 12, 13 years old, you see it in tennis. There are certain sports you can identify it very quickly. It's harder in football. Very few NBA stars developed into stars. Gary Payton's one of the few that people didn't know after the first couple years if he could play, and then he became an all-time great. That's a rarity. I mean, even the kids out of high school, like LeBron and Kevin Garnett, you knew by the end of their first year, beginning of their second, you're like, all right, this is different. These guys are going to be great players. Doesn't mean you're winning championships. I mean, Garnett was on bad teams, but you knew he was great. But with Dak Prescott, I was a skeptic. Even his college coach, Dan Mullen, came on this show and said, yeah, first view of Dak Prescott is he's not a natural thrower. It's not easy. He said he never was at Mississippi State. And I was an early critic on Dak. But is he growing into greatness? Now, I don't want to overreact to beating a bad Eagles team. I've said this. The Cowboys look faster defensively, but Dak is 11-1 his last 12 games. Against the NFC East. Washington in a rebuild, Giants in a rebuild, Eagles in a rebuild. But he does look, I think, better now, year two McCarthy. I do think Dak is growing to a better place. And Matt Rhule, coach of Carolina, knows a thing or two about quarterbacks and offenses, has been watching film preparing for Dak and the Cowboys and said this.
He's getting the ball out of his hand. You know, he's the second fastest guy in the NFL right now from snap to throw, which is, you know, emblematic or symptomatic, I don't know the right word, of a quarterback who's knows exactly where the ball is going to go versus the defense, who's on the same page with his receivers, who's getting in the right plays versus the right, you know, coverages, who's making sure that he's protected. It all goes back to, it's like watching Peyton Manning, it's like watching Drew Brees, you know, call the game at the line of scrimmage. I think what Dak's doing right now is unbelievably impressive.
Remember, Brady's first pop year, where, like, he was controlling the game, was year 7. Look it up, 2007. That was Brady's first, my team. Okay, Brady. I could give you 30 examples of NFL players, often quarterbacks, who grow into something. I mean, Sam Darnold looks like a totally different player now, Sam Darnold, than he did with the Jets. I mean, literally, take the last Jets game and the first three Carolina games. It's like a different player. All the stats are different. No mistakes, more accurate, running the offense. So you can grow into stuff because you are very reliant on coordinators and coaches and your defense. Are you in shootouts? Do you get protection? So we did this game once before. We call it Dis or DAC. You give me the quarterbacks, and my judge is the next 5 years. I consider everything. Next 5 years, because I think I'm viewed as cool on Dak. But I've said before, so much of football for a quarterback is pre-snap and intellect and growing and leadership. And those all get better over time. Nobody pops out of the womb as a great leader. Like, you need opportunities to become a great leader to illustrate to me you are a great leader. How do I know if you've never been put in leadership positions? So we'll play Dis or Dak 5 years from today. Would I take Dak or Dis, the other guy? So here we go.
Dak Prescott or Patrick Mahomes?
Okay, that would be one of the easier ones. I would take Patrick Mahomes. That's an easier one because I think he's just a generational talent. Arm movement. I think most people, even Dak fans, would probably agree.
Dak Prescott or Baker Mayfield?
I would take Dak. I think he's a bigger, sturdier body. I think he's more mature. I like a lot of intangibles. Yeah, I don't think that's a criticism of Baker, but I would take Dak for 5 years. There are things that I align with Dak. I'm into the intangible stuff more than most fans. I would take Dak.
Dak Prescott or Sam Darnold?
Dak Prescott. Yeah, Dak is a less reckless player. I don't think either has a beautiful throwing motion. I don't think either are artistic throwers of the football. But I think with Dak, I get more consistent accuracy. I get many of the intangibles I like about Darnold, but I don't think Dak plays quite as recklessly. I think he really almost always, he'll kill a play and be fine with it. And yeah. I think that's growth. And I haven't seen Darnold do that yet.
Dak Prescott or Justin Herbert?
Well, again, this is closer than people would think. I would say Herbert, because I think from what I've seen in year two, he just keeps getting better and better. But he had a terrible red zone interception against the Cowboys. So I am going on this morning, Dak. This morning, Dak probably does stuff pre-snap better than Justin Herbert. But in 5 years, I think you'll start seeing a separation here, probably end of this year or beginning of next year, because I do think Herbert now has the protection he deserves. So over 5 years, Dak may be better for a year. I believe that. But if it's five, I think Herbert for 3.5 will start to pull away.
Dak Prescott or Joe Burrow?
Very close. Dak by an inch. I haven't seen a ton of Burrow. I like his situational awareness. But Burrow, we saw this 2 weeks ago, still has those games where you're like, cover your eyes, this is awful. Dak's out of that space. So Dak's floor is much higher right now than Burrow's, although I think Burrow as a natural thrower is better, but I would take Dak over the next five.
Dak Prescott or Derek Carr?
Probably Dak by an inch. By an inch. Okay, now again, here's why. And I think it's very close. Derek's a better thrower of the football. A natural thrower. Dak has a sort of innate confidence that
doesn't need to be fueled by other people.
I think Derek sometimes a little bit needs support, he's a little more needy in terms of, I need this. Dak is the quarterback of the Cowboys, went through an anthem controversy, didn't care. I mean, that was a big deal, right? Like, he didn't care. The kneeling stuff, Dak was willing to forge ahead without necessarily even the support of the city he played in, and it didn't in any way shrink him. So by an inch, Dak.
Josh Allen.
I think he's different. Bigger, stronger, more mobile, ridiculous arm. I don't get the critics. There are critics out there. I don't get it. Listen, I said when he got drafted, he's wild. Like, he's the wild pony in the barn that's knocking everything over. But when he has the right coaching, his ceiling is, his floor sometimes is lower. He has bad throws. His ceiling is higher than Mahomes. He's that good.
Dak Prescott or Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, Dak. Dak doesn't shrink in big spots.
Dak Prescott or Matthew Stafford?
Matt. Now, I would say Matt. Matt is such a natural. I mean, you're seeing it in three games. It's so easy. He's just such an easy thrower of the football. I mean, there's Mel Kiper told me Matt Stafford is the only high schooler he's seen who would be drafted out of high school as a quarterback. Now, you would have put him on the scout team,
right?
But he was that gifted. I think it was like South Lake High in Dallas. He was like, he was, you know, Kershaw's buddy in high school. He's that gifted.
Dak Prescott or Kyler Murray?
You're going to think I'm crazy. Dak Prescott by an inch, and I'll tell you why. I don't know about Kyler's leadership skills. I hear things that are very interesting from players in the league that Kyler is a one-on-one talent, but again, Kyler throws a more beautiful football. Kyler is more brilliant as a playmaker. 5 years, Dak is beloved by every single person in that organization. Kyler isn't.
Kyler's not?
Kyler has his critics even in the locker room. Hmm. That's why they went out and got J.J. Watt and A.J. Green. They wanted veteran leadership, which I think they have questioned whether or not Kyler is that, and I think that's underrated.
Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson?
Russell. Russell, to me, is a better version of Kyler. Just simply put, I think Russell, again, I don't think we've ever seen anybody quite right like Russell. I think Kyler's the closest part of it, but I don't think he's Russell top to bottom. Leadership, pre-snap, teamwork, optimism, hope, health. I mean, Kyler already got hurt last year. Russell Wilson's been playing this game for 20 years, going back to when he was a little kid. He's never been hurt. He never gets hurt. Kyler's already gotten hurt in year two.
This will be an interesting one. Dak Prescott or Aaron Rodgers next 5 years?
Dak. Because now that Aaron's a better player. But the minute Aaron said 50-50 on retirement, I have no idea what's going on. If I told you publicly, I announced I'm 50-50 on quitting the show, you would literally call your agent.
Yes, I would.
You would call your agent. You would call Eric Shanks. You would call your brother. You would call family members. I got to get my resume ready. When Aaron said that, it was a huge public mistake. I have no idea where his head is at if they go into a 4-game losing streak. I have no idea. It's all fun. He's happy, Aaron, after they beat the Niners. But what if they go on a 4-game losing streak? I don't know what I'm getting.
Next 5 years, Dak Prescott or Lamar Jackson?
Oh, can I pass on that one?
No. That's not the rules. I don't know. Dak.
I would say, yeah, question mark. Well, Lamar wins 80% of his games, and I think I spend at least an hour a week defending Lamar. Get me to the end of the year.
Okay.
We'll play Diss or Dak one more time, and we'll go to the last weekend of the year. I'd probably this morning give Lamar the edge, but it wouldn't be a huge edge. It would be the Derek Carr Dak. It would be that. It'd be an inch, because I do think he does one thing so well that he doesn't have to do everything well. I feel with Dak, he kind of does everything at a B-plus level.
Yeah.
With Lamar, I think he does one thing at an A-plus level, and I don't really care about a lot of the other stuff.
He does everything at a B-plus level and A-plus intangibles.
Yes, that is Dak. Whereas Lamar, there are throws he's not great at, but he is so otherworldly in the moving around part that I tend to give guys passes.
Well, I mean, I think Dak has, I give Dak a little extra sprinkle of the intangible stuff because it is the Dallas Cowboys, and that is such a unique job to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. But all of these guys are like, I mean, we have an incredible
league. Yeah, so prime example.
League.
You never get credit, I said this earlier, for the chaos in life you avoid.
Yes.
You could be a president, a senator, a mom with a family. Do you know how many times we've had potential chaos with the Cowboys in the last 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
The Zeke contract, the anthem stuff, the kneeling stuff. There's never been any chaos. There have been bad games, but Dak doesn't get credit for the chaos with the most outspoken meddling owner, with coaches that can't figure out the clock, with he inherited Dez, who was this kind of volcanic, outspoken. That was a lot of stuff. He replaced Romo.
Yep.
I mean, Dak has never gotten credit for the chaos he keeps you out of, and nobody ever does. Our presidents don't. Our wives don't. My family would just be, it would be a ball rolling downhill out of control fast. But, you know, our family doesn't have any mostly chaos.
Yeah.
Except my dogs are gone for a month.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Perform at your best with M-Drive. Supplement I take every day for driven men. Go to mdriveformen.com. Don't let age beat you. Free shipping. Calvin Johnson's around the corner. Greg Cosell next hour. Very exciting. Joy, let's not waste any time. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Kyle Shanahan keeps getting questions about his quarterback position and plan, and he's feeling like people misinterpreted what he was saying about the plan for all the quarterback position.
Right. There's not a quarterback battle right now. I mean, we're going with our starting quarterback, who I think is playing very well. Happy that he is, so Trey is not thrown into any situations he has to do too early. If he ever is thrown into that, then I know Trey will deal with that and he'll get better as it goes, but we have a luxury where we don't have to do that yet to Trey or to our team. So hopefully we won't have to.
He did wait all offseason to announce who the starting quarterback was. So perhaps people are a little confused as to what it's going to be. Also, he didn't mention that Trey was going to have a certain role within the offense. We've seen a little bit of that already. I don't know that it's outrageous that he's being asked about it.
No, I don't. Very rarely do I think the media doesn't have a right to ask a question. I also think the media has a responsibility not to... the media has a responsibility to kind of get the room. Like, I think the questions are fair, but I also think sometimes the media don't play dumb. Like, if you want to be viewed as smart, then ask smart questions and know, you know, right now, next week, Garoppolo is the starter because you just saw a drive against Green Bay where he essentially won the game on a great final drive, if not for Aaron Rodgers. So right. Trey's just not ready to do that. No young quarterback. I mean, even as good as Manning and Peyton, Andrew Luck were, they're not pulling that drive off.
No, but here's, and again, this is my issue with saying you have a quarterback battle and not just saying Jimmy Garoppolo is our starter.
Yeah.
And we will evaluate Trey as things go along. Yeah. If you want to play that game where it's, you know, we're just the best guys, we're going to win the position, you got to earn it, and da-da-da-da-da, and you just took Trey Lance, and we know he's the future of the organization.
Right.
Then you're going to get these questions all season long. If it was very direct, Jimmy Garoppolo is the starter, Trey Lance is the future, that is what the team is right now. Like, that is it.
Well, my interpretation was Shanahan and coaches don't like to give you any info, and I think he loved that people thought, are we going to get the running kid or the pocket guy? And he didn't want to give you the answer. He loves that coaches are going,
well, then you have to deal with these questions all season
that's
long.
That's right. That's fair. That's right.
That's how that goes.
But I think once the season starts, we know that Garoppolo...
Yes, Jimmy G is the starter. Yes, yeah. Of course. And Trey is the backup, and unless something happens dramatic throughout the season as far as Jimmy G's play, which no one anticipates, or an injury, which we don't know,
right,
then this is what it's going to be. And it is a good situation. We are seeing rookie quarterbacks around the league struggle. They are also not on good teams. San Francisco is a good team, so this was an outlier to that start the young quarterback right away. You have Jimmy G. He's played in a Super Bowl.
Right.
He should be the starter. They host the Seahawks Sunday at 4 Eastern on Fox, and they are currently favored by 3 on Fox Bet.
Oh, I'm staying away from that. Seahawks and Niners both off a loss. They're both excellent.
Yeah.
That's a stay-away game. I don't want to be stressed. I just want to watch that game, and I don't know the outcome. I think San Francisco at home's got an edge. Because I think they'll control the clock like everybody's done.
That's
against...
That's how I felt about the Green Bay San Francisco game.
Yeah.
Some games it's just like, I just want to watch.
I want to watch it. I'll bet the Cowboy-Panther game. And that's fine, but that's not the game of the week.
Cowboys.
I love the Cowboys in that game.
4.5?
Oh, I think they're going to win by, yes. And my only concern, if it was equally rested, but the Cowboys come off a Monday, short week, and the Panthers played, they got 10 days. So 3 extra days to prepare. Mm-hmm. Carolina's not, but you have to remember, Darnold, this is going to be a shootout to some degree because Dallas is going to move the football. Carolina's defense is
McCaffrey.
And so you become more reliant on Sam, and it could happen, but I have yet to see Sam when the game plan's on his shoulders to go error free. And I think Dallas' secondary is one of the most improved units. You know, we thought Cleveland's defense would be better.
Yeah.
Dallas's is instantly better. With a bunch of kids, it looks instantly better.
You make significant arguments.
Yep.
So the Bears offense was a disaster on Sunday, 26-6 loss to the Browns, speaking of the Browns defense. And Matt Nagy has taken most of the criticism, which he seems to agree with.
Without getting into specifics of what we're going to do and how we're going to do it with not just that stuff, but other topics, I'm going to keep that internal. That's what I'm about. The criticism's fair. I go back to the game. And again, the more you're in it, the more you see it. You got to move on, but you also got to accept it. That's what I'm going to do moving forward.
Really interesting game for the Bears this weekend.
Don't like this one either. So the Lions are getting 3 points,
yeah.
And I think the Lions play their butt off.
Yeah.
They remind me of the New York Giants. They're totally flawed, but the Giants and the Lions give you every ounce of their effort, and the Bears right now were so bad. Now, some of that's Cleveland's really good, but what do I do? I don't even know what the Bears are. I think they're going to lose to the Lions. I think the Lions play hard. I think Dan Campbell's going to eat kneecaps and pick up his first W.
That kneecap soup is brewing there.
I think Detroit wins that game.
I think I agree with you, but isn't that a disaster?
I don't know.
They start 0-4?
They weren't very good at last year.
Division loss?
Listen, Matt Nagy's going to have a new job. It's not going to work here. I'm bummed because he's a good guy and he got Trubisky into the playoffs. I can like a coach and just not think it's going to work.
Well, he's yet to announce a starter this week either, saying that all three quarterbacks are being considered. So that's a wild situation. I think I agree with you. I think the Lions win that. So the Cardinals are 3-0, and Kyler Murray said that the team's record is a bigger deal to him than any discussion of his individual play.
You know, this was week four. It was about week four. Yeah, I don't. It is what it is. You know, it's a long season. You know, and I've always, you know, I was raised and taught. You know, if you win as a team, you know, the individual accolades will come. And that's how I treated it in high school. That's how I treated it when I won the Heisman. Same thing for now. So, I'm not really too worried about MVP or anything like that.
He has been talked about as the early
yes.
betting favorite for the MVP.
I think that's,
he has the best odds right now on FoxBet.
No, and the other thing that matters, he's so spectacular. Like, Stafford's good. He's got a great arm. Nobody questions that. But, like, Kyler, it's so dynamic looking. You get swayed on
the
votes.
The Cardinals have this interesting energy to them.
Yes, yes.
Right?
I got to tell you something. They're the best watch
yes.
in the league right now. They're the most fun team to watch in the league. There's a lot of highs and lows. But boy,
they feel like the Ravens when Lamar won his MVP.
Yeah, it's a fireworks show.
Yes.
It's not perfect football. But
then Kyler can run.
He does everything.
They're going to play the Rams this Sunday, yeah. So that's going to be an interesting game too. Rams are favored by 4.5, according to FoxBet.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
By the way, I have said this when he was in college at Georgia Tech, and I'd said it, probably said it 5 times on this show over the last, 10 years of doing this show. Calvin Johnson, to me, along with Randy Moss, is the single greatest wide receiving talent of my life. Not Jerry Rice, who I think ended up the most productive. Calvin's a Pro Football Hall of Famer, and with only 9 years in the NFL, that's got kind of a Sandy Koufax feel, where Sandy Koufax didn't have a long career, but he was so great that it was acknowledged that we'd probably never seen anything quite like it. But Calvin is such a humble guy. He is now joining us live, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, 6-time Pro Bowler. So you just celebrated your 36th birthday yesterday. What does a Hall of Famer do on your 36th birthday? Cake, long drive, yeah. Coach your kids. What did you do yesterday?
We keep it simple, man. We go downtown Detroit, stay at the Shinola, get a nice little suite and go to a great dinner. Just keep it simple.
Well, my wife's a Michigan girl, so I love that you still live there. Michigan's an absolutely beautiful state. You know, Calvin, you did something that's very hard. It is easy to retire when the legs don't work, and it's easy to retire when the coach wants to cut you. It's very difficult to retire when you're still great. So there is something above the shoulders. There is some confidence in yourself. There's something about your personality that you were totally comfortable doing it. You're still completely comfortable doing it. And I think it's the hardest thing to, I don't think winning's the hardest. I think shutting it down when you could still be wildly productive. Was there ever a minute when you were driving in the car somewhere in Detroit and thought, man, I miss Sundays?
No, I mean, the one thing you miss is the camaraderie. You do miss that 100%. But I never miss running, 3 miles a day at practice. Nobody misses the grunt work of it all. But you miss those times in the locker room or those times when you're spending, off the field with each other's families. Those are the times that we miss the most.
Yeah. 11 years ago, you started something crazy in the NFL. You made a catch in the NFL 11 years ago, and it was ruled a non-catch. And I remember sitting on my couch watching it. And I remember thinking, the hell just happened? I don't understand the rule. and you remember that moment. And then for the next 8 years, 9 years, we lived in this weird world where catches were no longer catches. Do you take me back to that moment? Do you remember it? What were you thinking?
I remember exactly. I remember catching the ball. I remember going up and getting it. I remember going to the ground. I remember getting up and taking off and leaving the ball on the ground and just take game over, walk off.
Right.
And then I remember, matter of seconds later, you hear whistles and referees joining up in the middle of the field. I'm like, what the heck are they talking about? And they call it off, and then all you heard was probably cuss words from the Detroit sideline.
It is crazy. Well, they eventually came to their senses. We all know that Detroit's been a franchise that struggled, and Matt Stafford has moved on to, I think, a much better place. With Stafford, we always know he's got a good arm. That's obvious. I can see that without being in your film study. Give me some other stuff about Matt that you really enjoyed and appreciated that maybe I don't see or fans don't see on Sunday.
Yeah, Matt's a guy, he's going to know his locker room. He's going to talk to everybody that's on the field, everybody that's on that team. He's going to have a good rapport with everybody. And I think that's why everybody feels comfortable with him being their leader on the team, whether it was here in Detroit. You didn't hear anything negative coming out of here about it as far as culture or anything like that as it relates to Matthew. Because all Matthew did was put his head down and work. And everybody, that's what you respect out of your leader. And like you said, man, being out there in L.A. is almost like a fog off of him. I tell everybody, I saw him in that first game. It was like some kind of penalty or something happened in the game. He had to look almost as if, oh, shoot, well, if I was in Detroit, that wouldn't happen. That wouldn't have been
like that. Yeah. I mean, listen, all of us, Joy and I and you, we are all limited based on the culture that we inherit or that we're around in management, and that's just the reality of it. And after 9 years, you shut it down. I imagine when you first came into the league, you're hopeful and optimistic, but was there a point in year 4 or 5 you're just like, man, I'm putting in the effort and we're losing too many football games? Did you feel that 4 or 5 years in with the Lions?
Year two, man. We are 0-16.
Yeah.
I remember 0-16, that last game. We were 0-15 at the time, and we're going to Green Bay. To 0 degrees. So, a lot of people already chalked that up, even half the team already. I remember sitting on the bench after the game, and it was myself, it was Gosser, Chairless, and it was Cliff Averill. And we were sitting there, and I was like, man, how long I want to do this. And this how it is. But literally, we were saying those words like, oh, man, like, it can't be like this. That was a rough year.
Yeah.
That was low and low.
When you came into this league, the rules were different. You could still go up top, hit receivers. It is a completely different league from you entering it until now, where it's easier to be a wide receiver. Do you think, Calvin, now, if you came into the league as a rookie, would it change your routes? Would it change how you play because you're not going to be punitively punished over the middle? A lot of guys wouldn't even go over the middle. And I can remember hearing people talk about this for years, like Michael Irvin was the one Cowboy receiver willing to go over the middle. Would you be a different receiver today?
Well, I don't think so. I feel like, I was like almost out there like LeBron James, or like, you don't get the calls. Like, they'll ring, they'll be holding on to you after 5 yards, pushing you around, but they're like, hey, you're big, you can handle it. So I don't think that would have really had an effect or effect on the game. And even today, I still see guys going across the middle with alligator arms. I did not get smacked, even though they still can get smacked. So I don't think it's had somewhat of an impact on the game. But I don't watch enough, I guess, to really see that the finer details there.
By the way, what's the biggest takeaway? You are part of A Football Life premieres Friday at 9 Eastern on the NFL Network. Calvin Johnson, A Football Life. It's a 1-hour show. Matt Stafford, Nate Burleson, Dan Orlovsky, Jim Caldwell, you've seen it. What do you, I will watch it. What do you want the takeaway to be on that?
You know, I haven't actually seen it. I gave the interviews, but I haven't seen, you know, all of my coaches or players, you know, give their input. I look forward to seeing that. But really just a, you know, just a final message to the fans on, you know, why I did, why I retired, you know, if there's any kind of misconception. So they know. So they know from the source. You know, it ain't no hearsay. And any other thing that might be lingering out there, I don't know what else it might be. But just how I am, the way I am, you know, just my culture being raised and whatnot. I think you'll be able to get a good feel for that from my parents and family as well.
Yeah. By the way, at 36 years old, how do you feel today? When you shut it down a little earlier, you probably feel a little better in your joints. How do you feel today? Are you active, still athletic?
Yes. I'm in the quality of life business now, you know, just trying to help people find ways to better their life, whether it's, you know, just really trying to find solutions for pain and cognitive disorders. You know, that's what's tailoring, or that's my push right now. That's my profession, is really just trying to find ways. And that's where we created a brand, Primitive Group, in Michigan. And that's really just to destigmatize the cannabis plant and really educate people on the healing powers of that plant. You know, I think the big part of it is really just educating people on what, you know, cannabis is to the, what it means to our body. And a lot of people don't understand that we have what is called an endocannabinoid system. So really just starting right there and doing research on your endocannabinoid system and going from there, I think it'll be able to, you know, start that education process, and we can better understand the healing powers of this plant.
One of the greats of all time, Calvin Johnson. Remarkable how many records you hold in the NFL, and you did it so quickly, so swiftly in 9 years. It's great seeing you. Congrats on the Hall of Fame.
Thanks, Kyle. Great to see you. Thanks, Joe.
You bet. Calvin Johnson. A lot of stuff just starting. Greg Cosell is next hour. He is usually our 10 o'clock Pacific hour, 1 o'clock Eastern hour on Thursdays. He's going to do our last hour today. It's as good a 15 minutes as we do all week. Learn a lot of stuff.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of waiting around for hot water? Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. Try a Navien 15-year warranty. Only heats it when you need it. You're now entering the No Bull Zone, sponsored by Credible. Great rates with none of the bull. So, Matt Stafford, we just had Calvin Johnson on. It's amazing what winning does, doesn't it? We didn't pay attention to Matt Stafford for 13 years, and now he is on our show every week. People can't say enough nice things. Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona go to Los Angeles. They face Matt Stafford this week, and here's Kingsbury.
Matthew Stafford's arm talent, you know, being from Texas, I watched him when he was in high school. It's legendary. I mean, he is a freak show at that position, and his skill set's really getting a chance to show in Sean's offense.
Sometimes you have to trust your eyes. So these guys were making fun of me earlier this week because I said when I watched Dallas play, I said this 2 weeks ago, they're faster. I don't know the schemes. They're way faster. They're doing way more man-to-man, not a lot of zone, and that tells me they trust their personnel. They just trust their athletes to match up with your athletes, man-to-man, we can beat you. And then a stat came out yesterday, which I was so excited about, I couldn't contain myself, which is Dallas leads the NFL with takeaways. And they also lead the NFL with 10 different defensive players playing at a speed of 19 miles an hour. And so you trust your eyes. Like, they look faster, they are. And the other thing I've been saying about the Rams is when you watch the Rams play, and this again speaks what they think of their personnel. The reason the Cowboys are doing more man-to-man, they trust their dudes. When you play zone, you don't. And with the Rams, there's no more tricks. They just drop back to pass. And that tells you the Goff offense was deception-based. Play action. Well, a stat came out this morning, Next Gen Stats. What do you know? Sean McVay has utilized more spread, less play action with Matt Stafford. They're down to 25% of their passes are play action. So 75% of the time, drop back and throw it. And that is a much lower number than it was with Jared Goff. And so whenever you see tricks and deception, that means you don't trust your personnel. Matt Nagy with Trubisky. What did I say for years? It's just smoke and mirrors. McVay with Goff. You started seeing it was all deception. And once they couldn't fool people like Belichick, the offense was bad. And you see this with the 49ers. That is one of my concerns with Garoppolo. It's at its best when you're fooled. Where's the play going? A lot of bootleg stuff, but bootleg stuff. And I think Garoppolo, that's why when he had that great drive against Green Bay, I'm like, that's real quarterback play. You don't see a lot of that from Garoppolo. That's real quarterback play. It's a lot of tricks, which can tell you, your coach will tell you, the fans, what he thinks of the personnel. If they play a lot of zone defense, they don't like their corners. If they do a lot of tricks, they have questions about the quarterback. By the way, Buffalo and the Chargers with Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, seven-step drop, let her rip, kid. They trust their players. And there's always a ceiling when you have to do tricks. You know, aging Drew Brees, a little bit of deception for Sean Payton, there's a ceiling. Shanahan, Garoppolo, there's a ceiling. McVay, Goff. So Andy Reid, by the way, with Alex Smith, there is a ceiling to the tricks. You can fool people. That's not the question. But when you watch the Rams now, the yards are truer. It's not garbage time yards. It's straight drops, middle of the game, big plays. Here comes the pass rush, and Matt Stafford connects. Andrew Whitworth talked about this earlier this week on our show.
I think we're a team now that we're kind of just dropping back with the quarterback and letting him be special like he is. And up front, you know what, it's a different thing. Now we're you know, really working on pass protection and having the ability to give him time and the chance to make those plays. And that part of the, you know, really for us offensively has been the biggest, you know, bright spot for us, is that we started this season protecting the quarterback, letting him make plays and showing the talent and ability he has. And I think really the relationship between Sean and him is really showing up as they're able to kind of pull on each other and ideas and philosophies for how to attack defenses. And so far it's showed up really in our passing game.
I want to shift to this. So winning, I've argued, is underrated. Now, that sounds ridiculous, right? Everybody knows you want to win. But not necessarily. There's lots of people, legitimate people, arguing you should play rookie quarterbacks for growth. And my takeaway is, the growth is all fine, but if you don't win, then ultimately that young quarterback's going to have a new coach and a new coordinator and a new playbook and a new system and a new GM, and that's chaos, and young quarterbacks don't thrive in chaos. Almost, as much as we say Andrew Luck, he had to leave the game early. He didn't thrive very long in chaos. So Bruce Arians was talking yesterday about Brady's got a little bit of a LeBron quality where people will take pay cuts. Veterans want to play because they just want to win games.
I think when you talk about a veteran player and you want to win a championship and Tom calls you, you're going to listen. You know, you're going to listen, after, especially after and knowing the roster that we have. And so, I think there's probably a bunch of veterans out there wishing you'd call them.
You know, this is one of the things that I've thought about if I was an actor, is that winning makes the flight home better. Winning makes there's less snarkiness from the press, where players get defensive. Winning just solves everything in this league. That's why I think Matt Nagy has to win games, because otherwise it's just going to unravel things. Now, what if Justin Fields gets if Justin Fields gets the wrong second coach, then he's done. Like Darnold, the Jets just said, it's not working, even though we know now he can win. And so I always thought if I was an actor, I wouldn't need to be the star. I would just pick the best scripts. If I was a 4, but it was a great script, I'd take it. If it was a 3. But agents want you to be the man. Well, George Clooney hasn't had a hit in 8 years. And when George Clooney movies come out, and he's considered a good actor, right? Like I don't know, coin flip. Don Cheadle, I go to every Don Cheadle movie. Why? Because he wins. He always ends up in a good movie. Ed Norton, Don Cheadle, Michael Keaton. You don't always have to be the guy. Winning creates its own momentum. So if you just say Don Cheadle, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to that movie. Is he a great actor? Well, I don't know, but he's always in good movies. He doesn't have to be on the poster. He'll just get his name. It doesn't have to be on the poster. Clooney is on the poster. I'm really hit and miss on his movies. So like 2 out of 3 don't work for me. Nothing against him. If I met him today, he's a movie star. But I do think there you create a certain brand and inertia. I mean, I've said this. As much as I love Russell Wilson, you can't be a 17% cap hit. Winning isn't the most important thing. It's not. You can't win with a 17.5% cap hit. Brady, winning's everything. He was taking pay cuts before Giselle. He understands the momentum that winning causes. Stars want to play with you. Coaches want to coach you. If winning is everything, and I'm not here to tell people to take pay cuts, but if winning is everything in salary cap sports as a quarterback, you can't take the most money. They're not getting Chris Godwin and Mike Evans in Seattle. You don't get both. Forget Gronk and AB. You don't get both. And so I think what Brady really understands is from the flights to the offseason to the practices, winning is everything. Go win Sunday, period.